Magic, more than she needed to quench this fire roaring inside her. She neared the Acropolis, its dazzling mirror surface almost blinding her, and made her way up the short flight of steps to the golden glass doors. The lower level of the floor had a row of turnstiles and security guards, necessary for the businesses located in the high rise, with Zeus's advertising company, Oak and Eagle Creative, among them. Zeus's admirers were known to wait in crowds outside the Acropolis just for a glimpse of the God of Thunder. Once, a mob had tried to storm the building to reach him, which was sort of ironic considering Zeus was rarely at the Acropolis and spent most of his time in Olympia. Zeus's business wasn't the only one in need of security, though. New Athens News broke some difficult stories, stories that infuriated gods and mortals alike. Persephone wasn't aware of any retaliation, but as she moved through security, she knew these mortal guards wouldn't be able to stop an angry god from storming the 60th floor for revenge. After security, she found a bank of elevators that took her up to her floor. The doors opened into a large reception area with the words New Athens News overhead. A curved glass desk sat beneath it, and a beautiful woman with long dark curls greeted her with a smile. Her name was Valerie. Persephone remembered her from her interview. "Persephone," she said, coming around the desk. "It's good to see you again. Let me take you back. Dimitri is expecting you." Valerie directed Persephone to the newsroom beyond the glass partition. There, several metal and glass desks were arranged in perfect lines across the floor. There was a flurry of activity, phones ringing, paper shuffling, keys tapping as writers and editors pounded out their next article. The smell of coffee was strong, like the whole place ran on caffeine and ink. Persephone's heart thudded in her chest with the thrill of it all. "I saw you were from New Athens University," Valerie said. "When do you graduate?" "In 6 months." Persephone dreamed of the moment she'd walk across that grand stage to receive her degree. It would be the pinnacle of her time among mortals.
"You must be so excited."
"I am." Persephone glanced at Valerie. "What about you? When do you graduate?"
"In a couple years," Valerie said.
"And how long have you been here?"
"About a year,"
she said with a smile. "Do you plan to stay when you graduate?"
"In the building, yes. Just a few floors up at Oak and Eagle Creative," she grinned.
Ah, Zeus's marketing company had sourced her.
Valerie knocked on the open door of an office at the very back of the room. "Dimitri, Persephone's here."
"Thanks, Valerie," Dimitri said.
The girl turned to Persephone, smiled, and left, allowing room for her to enter the office and catch her first glimpse of her new boss, Dimitri Athos. He was older, but it was clear he had been a heartbreaker in his prime. His hair was short on the sides, longer on top, and flecked with gray. He wore black-framed glasses, which gave him a scholarly air. He had what Persephone would consider delicate features, thin lips and a smaller nose. He was tall, but thin beneath his blue button-up, khaki slacks, and polka-dot bow tie.
"Persephone," he said, coming around his desk and stretching out his hand. "It's good to see you again. We are happy to have you."
"I'm happy to be here, Mr. Athos," she took his hand.
"Call me Dimitri."
"Okay, Dimitri," she couldn't help smiling.
"Please, sit."
He indicated to a chair, and she took a seat. Dimitri leaned against his desk, hands in his pockets.
"Tell me about yourself."
When Persephone had first moved to New Athens, she hated this question, because there was a point when all she could talk about was her fears, closed spaces, feeling trapped, escalators. Over time, though, she'd had enough experiences, and it had become easier to define herself by what she liked.
"Well, I'm a student at New Athens University. I'm majoring in journalism, and I'll graduate in May," she started, and Dimitri waved his hand.
"Not what's on your resume."
He met her gaze, and she noticed that he had blue eyes. He smiled.
"What about you? Your hobbies, interests?"
"Oh," she blushed and thought for a moment.
I like baking. It helps me relax.
Oh, tell me more. What do you like to bake?
Anything, really. I've been challenging myself at sugar cookie art. His brows rose, and his smile stayed.
Sugar cookie art, huh? That's a thing?
Yes, I'll show you. She pulled out her phone and found a few photos. Of course, she had only taken pictures of her best cookies. Dimitri took the phone and swiped through the photos.
Oh, nice. These are great, Persephone.
He met her gaze as he returned her phone. Thank you. Persephone hated the cheesy smile those words brought to her face, but no one but Lexa had ever told her that.
So you like to bake. What else?
I like to write, she said. Stories.
Stories? Like fiction?
Yes.
Romance?
He guessed. It was what most people assumed, and the blush on Persephone's cheeks wasn't helping her case. No, actually, I like mysteries. Dimitri's brows rose again, almost meeting his hairline.
Unexpected, he said. I like it. What do you hope to gain from this internship?
Adventure. She couldn't help it. The word slipped out, but Dimitri seemed pleased.
Adventure.
He pushed away from his desk.
If adventure is what you desire, New Athens News can give it to you, Persephone. This position can look like anything you wish. It's yours to craft and manage. If you want to report, you can report. If you want to edit, you can edit. If you want to get coffee, you get coffee.
Persephone only had an interest in getting coffee for herself, but she didn't bother telling them that. She didn't think she could be any more excited. But as Dimitri spoke, she had the overwhelming feeling that this internship would change her life.
I'm sure you know that we find ourselves in the media a lot, he smiled wryly. Ironic, considering we are a news source.
New Athens News was well known for the number of lawsuits filed against them. There were always complaints of defamation, slander, and invasion of privacy. Believe it or not, those weren't the worst accusations leveled against the company. I couldn't believe when Apollo accused you of being members of Triad, Persephone said. Triad was a group of impious mortals who actively organized against the gods, supporting fairness, free will, and freedom. Zeus had declared them as a terrorist organization and threatened death to any caught with their propaganda.
Oh, yeah.
Dimitri raised his brows and rubbed the back of his neck.
Completely ludicrous, of course, but that didn't keep people from believing it.
Probably the worst thing to come from it was that, as a result of Zeus' condemnation, the faithful organized into cults and started a manhunt of their own, killing several who were openly impious, uncaring if they were associated with Triad or not. It was a horrific time, and it had taken Zeus longer than necessary to come out against the cults. New Athens News said so themselves.
We seek truth, Persephone, Dimitri said. There's power in truth. Do you want power?
He didn't even know what he was asking. Yes, she said. I want power. This time when Dimitri smiled, he showed his teeth.
Then you will do well here.
Dimitri showed Persephone to her desk, which sat just outside his office. She settled in, checking drawers, noting what supplies she would need to ask for or buy, and stored her purse. A new laptop sat on top of the glass desk. It was cool to the touch. And when she opened it, the dark screen reflected the face of a man behind her. She turned in her chair and met a set of wide, surprised eyes. Adonis, she said.
Persephone.
He looked just as handsome as he had last night, only more professional, with his lavender button up and coffee cup clutched in one hand.
I had no idea you were our new intern.
I had no idea you worked here, she said.
I'm a senior reporter, mostly focused on entertainment,
he said, rather smugly.
We missed you when you left last night.
Oh, yes, sorry, I wanted to prepare for my first day.
Not going to fault you for that. Well, welcome. Adonis, Dimitri called as he stepped back into the doorframe of his office. Mind giving Persephone here a tour of our floor?
Not at all, he smiled at her. Ready?
Persephone followed Adonis, eager to witness the fast-paced environment of her new office. She was happy to see a familiar face, even if she had just met him last night. It made her feel more comfortable here.
We call this the workroom. It's where everyone follows leads and investigates, he said.
People looked up from their desks and waved or smiled at her as they passed. Adonis indicated a wall of glassed-in rooms.
Interview and conference rooms, break room, lounge.
He pointed to a huge room with various casual sitting areas and warm low light. It was cozy, and there were already several people nesting.
You'll probably prefer to write in here when you get the chance.
Adonis showed her to the supplies closet, and she raided it for pens, sticky notes, and notebooks. While he helped her carry her supplies back to her desk, he asked,
So, what kind of journalism are you interested in?
I'm leaning toward investigative reporting, she said.
Oh, a detective, huh?
I like research.
Any subject in particular?
He asked. Hades. The god's name popped into her head without warning, and she knew it was because of the mark on her wrist. She was anxious to get to Nevernight and figure out what it was. No, I just like to solve mysteries, she answered.
Well then, maybe you can help us figure out who's been stealing lunches from the fridge in the break room.
Persephone laughed. She got the feeling she was going to like it here. Chapter 4. The Contract. Less than an hour after leaving the Acropolis, Persephone stood outside Nevernight, pounding on the pristine black door. She'd taken the bus here, and it had nearly driven her insane. She couldn't sit still. Her mind had stirred up all sorts of fears and anxieties over what the mark might mean. Was this bracelet some sort of claim? Was it something that would bind her soul to the underworld? Or was it one of his horrible contracts? She was about to find out if someone would just answer this damned door. Hello? She called. Anyone there? She continued to pound on the door until her arms hurt. Just when she thought about giving up, the door flew open, and the ogre who had been staffing it last night glared at her. In the daylight, he was even more gruesome looking. His thick skin sagged around his neck, and he stared at her with small, squinted eyes.
What do you want?
His words were a snarl, and it wasn't lost on her that he could crush her skull with his hand alone. I must speak with Hades, she said. The ogre stared at her, and then slammed the door closed. That really pissed her off. She banged on the door again. Bastard! Let me in! She'd always known ogres existed, and had learned some of their weaknesses by reading a few books from Artemis's library at school. One of them, they hated being called names. The ogre tore the door open again and snarled at her, blowing his stinking rot breath in her face. He probably thought it would scare her away, and it had doubtless worked on others in the past, but not on Persephone. The mark on her wrist drove her. Her freedom was at stake. I demand you let me in. She curled her fingers into her palms. She considered how much space remained in the doorway. Could she get past the huge creature? If she moved quickly enough, his girth would probably throw him off balance.
Who are you, mortal, to demand an audience with the god of the dead?
The creature asked. Your lord has placed a mark on me, and I will have words with him. The creature laughed, beady eyes shining with amusement.
You would have words with him?
Yes, me. Let me in. She was growing angrier by the second.
We're not open, the creature responded. You will have to come back.
I will not come back. You will let me in now, you big ugly ogre. Persephone realized her mistake as soon as the words were out of her mouth. The creature's face changed. He grabbed her by the neck and lifted her off the ground.
What are you? He demanded. A tricky little nymph?
She clawed at the ogre's steel skin, but he only pressed his meaty fingers deeper into hers. She couldn't breathe. Her eyes watered, and the only thing she could do was drop her glamour. When her horns became visible, the creature released her as if she burned. Persephone staggered and inhaled deeply. She pressed a hand to her tender throat, but managed to stay on her feet and glare at the ogre in her true form. He lowered his gaze, unable to look upon her or meet her bright, eerie eyes. "I am Persephone, goddess of spring, and if you would like to keep your fleeting life, then you will obey me." Her voice shook. She was still rattled from being handled by the ogre. The words she had spoken were her mother's, used at a time when she'd made threats against a siren who refused to help her search for Persephone when she wandered away. Persephone had only been a few feet away, hiding behind a shrub, and she'd overheard her mother's crude words and filed them away, knowing that without powers, words would be her only weapon. The door opened behind the ogre, and he stepped aside, lowering to his knees as Hades strode into view. Persephone couldn't breathe. She'd spent all day remembering what he looked like, recalling his elegant but dark features, and yet her memory was nothing compared to the real thing. She was pretty sure he was wearing the suit from last night, but the tie around his neck was loose, and the buttons of his shirt fell open at the neck, exposing his chest. It was like he'd been interrupted in the middle of undressing. Then she remembered the woman who had wrapped her arms around his waist, Minthy. Perhaps she had interrupted them. She took great satisfaction from that thought, even though she knew she shouldn't care.
"Lady Persephone."
His voice was heavy and seductive, and she shivered. She forced her eyes level with his. They were equals, after all, and she wanted him to know it because she was about to make demands. She found him studying her, his head tilted to the side. Being under his gaze in her true form felt strangely intimate, and she wanted to call up her glamour again. She had made a mistake, been so angry and so desperate she'd exposed herself. "Lord Hades," she managed with a curt nod. She was proud her voice did not shake, though her insides did.
"My lord," the ogre hung his head. "I did not know she was a goddess. I accept punishment for my actions."
"Punishment," Persephone echoed, feeling increasingly exposed in the daylight outside the club. It took Hades a moment to peel his gaze from Persephone and look upon the ogre.
"I laid my hands upon a goddess," the monster said. "And a woman at that," Hades added unhappily. "I will deal with you later. Now, Lady Persephone."
He stepped aside and let her enter Nevernight. She stood in the dark as the door closed behind her. The air was heavy, charged with an intensity she felt deep in her belly and thick with his scent. She wanted to inhale and fill her lungs with it. Instead, she held her breath. Then he spoke against her ear, his lips brushing feather light over her skin.
"You are full of surprises, darling."
She inhaled sharply and twisted to face him, but when she did, Hades was no longer near her. He had opened the door and was waiting for her to enter the club.
"After you, goddess," he said.
The word wasn't used mockingly, but it was full of curiosity. She passed the god and stepped onto the balcony overlooking the empty floor. The place was immaculate. The floors were polished, the tables glossy. It was impossible to tell that this place had been packed wall to wall last night. She turned and saw Hades waiting. When she met his gaze, he descended the stairs and she followed. He crossed the floor, heading for the winding stairs and the second floor. She hesitated. "Where are we going?" she asked. He paused and turned toward her.
"My office. I imagine that whatever you have to say to me demands privacy."
She opened and closed her mouth, looking around the empty club. "This seems pretty private."
"It isn't," he said,
and headed up the stairs without another word. She followed. When they came to the top of the steps, he took a right, away from the room she'd been in the night before, toward a black wall elaborately embellished with gold. She couldn't believe she hadn't noticed it. Two large doors bore images of vines and flowers curling around Hades Bident, raised in gold relief. The rest of the wall was patterned with gilt floral designs. She probably shouldn't be so surprised that the god of the dead chose to decorate with flowers. The Narcissus was his symbol, after all. Her eyes were drawn to Hades as he opened one of the gilded doors. She was not eager to be in an enclosed space with him. She didn't trust her thoughts or her body. This time he called her out.
Will you hesitate at every turn, Lady Persephone?
She glared. I was just admiring your decor, Lord Hades. I didn't notice this last night.
The doors to my quarters are often veiled during business hours, he replied,
and then indicated the open door.
Shall we?
Once again, she gathered her courage and approached. He didn't leave much room for her to pass, and she brushed against him as she stepped into the room. She found herself in Hades' office. The first thing she noticed were the windows that overlooked the club floor. There were none to the outside, but the space was warmly lit and oddly cozy, even with its black marble floor. Maybe it had something to do with the fireplace against the wall. A couch and two chairs made a lovely sitting area, and a fur rug only added to the comforting aesthetic. At the far end of the room, elevated like a throne, was a large obsidian slab that acted as Hades' desk. From what she could tell, there was nothing on it. No paperwork or pictures. She wondered if he used it at all, or if it was just for show. Immediately in front of her was a table upon which a vase of blood-red flowers rested. She rolled her eyes at the floral arrangement. Hades closed the door, and she stiffened. This was dangerous. She should have confronted him downstairs where there was more space, where she was better able to think and breathe without inhaling him. His boots tapped against the floor as he neared, and her body grew taut. Hades stopped in front of her. His eyes scoured her face, lingering on her lips for a split second before lowering to her neck. When he reached out to touch her, Persephone's hand clamped down on his arm. It wasn't that she feared him as much as she feared her reaction to his touch. Their eyes met.
"Are you hurt?"
he asked. No, she said, and he nodded, carefully pulling his arm free of her grasp. He crossed the room, Persephone assumed to put distance between them. Then she remembered she was in her true form and started to raise her glamour.
Oh, it's a little too late to be modest, don't you think? Hades said, piercing her with those beautiful dark eyes.
He tugged his tie free, and she watched it slip from his neck before lifting her eyes to his. He wasn't smirking like she expected. He looked primal, like a starved animal who had finally cornered his prey. She swallowed. Did I interrupt something? She wasn't sure she wanted an answer. The corner of his mouth lifted.
I was just about to go to bed when I heard you demanding entrance to my club.
Bed? It was well past noon.
Imagine my surprise when I find the goddess from last night on my doorstep.
Did the Gorgon tell you? She stepped further into the room, glaring. Hades' lips quirked, amused.
No, Euryale did not. I recognized your magic as Demeter's, but you are not Demeter.
Then he tilted his head again.
When you left, I consulted a few texts. I had forgotten Demeter had a daughter. I assumed you were Persephone. Question is, why aren't you using your own magic?
Is that why you did this? She demanded, removing the bracelet she'd used to cover the mark on her skin and holding up her arm. Hades smirked. Actually smirked. Persephone wanted to attack him. She clenched her hands at her sides to keep from vaulting across the room.
No,
he said.
That is the result of losing against me.
You were teaching me to play, she argued.
Semantics, he shrugged. The rules of Nevernight are very clear, goddess.
They are anything but clear, and you are an asshole.
Hades' eyes darkened. Apparently, he didn't like being called names any more than the ogre did. He pushed away from the desk, striding toward her, and Persephone took a step back.
Don't call me names, Persephone, he said,
and then reached for her wrist. He traced the bracelet all around, making her shiver.
When you invited me to your table, you entered into an agreement. If you had won, you could have left Nevernight with no demands on your time. But you didn't. And now we have a contract.
She swallowed, considering every horrible thing she'd heard about Hades' contracts and his impossible terms. What darkness would he pull from deep inside her? And what does that mean? Her voice was still biting.
It means I must choose terms.
I don't want to be in a contract with you, she said between her teeth. Take it off.
I can't.
You put it there, you can remove it. His lips twitched. You think this is funny?
Oh, darling, you have no idea.
The word darling slid across her skin, and she shivered again. He seemed to notice, because he smiled a little bit more. I am a goddess, she tried again. We are equals.
You think our blood changes the fact that you willingly entered into a contract with me? These things are law, Persephone.
She glared at him.
The mark will dissolve when the contract has been fulfilled.
He said it like that should make it all better. And what are your terms? Just because she was asking didn't mean she was going to agree. Hades' jaw was tight. He seemed to be restraining himself. Maybe he wasn't used to being ordered around. When he lifted his head and stared down at her, she knew she was in trouble.
Create life in the underworld, he said at last.
What? She hadn't been prepared for that, though she probably should have been. Wasn't her greatest weakness her lack of power? An irony, considering her divinity.
Create life in the underworld, he said again. You have 6 months, and if you fail or refuse, then you will become a permanent resident of my realm.
You want me to grow a garden in your realm? She demanded. He shrugged again.
I suppose that is one way to create life.
She glared at him. If you steal me away to the underworld, you will face my mother's wrath.
Oh, I am sure,
he mused.
Much like you will feel her wrath when she discovers what you've so recklessly done.
Persephone's cheeks flushed. He was right. The difference between them was that Hades didn't seem at all fazed by the threat. Why should he be? He was one of the three, the most powerful gods in existence. A threat from Demeter was a pebble thrown. She straightened, raising her chin and meeting his gaze head on. Fine. She felt the pressure of Hades' hand on her wrist like a shackle and tore her hand free. When do I start? Hades' eyes glittered.
Come tomorrow. I'll show you the way to the underworld.
It will have to be after class, she said.
Class?
I'm a student at New Athens University. Hades looked at her curiously and nodded his head.
After class, then.
They stared at each other for a long moment. As much as she hated him right now, it was hard not to enjoy the sight of him. What about your bouncer?
What about him?
I'd prefer he not remember me in this form. She lifted her hand to her horns, then called up her glamour. It relaxed her a little to be in her mortal form. Hades watched the transformation as if he were studying the form of an ancient sculpture.
I'll erase his memory after he is punished for his treatment of you.
Persephone shivered. He didn't know I was a goddess.
But he knew you were a woman, and he let his anger get the best of him, so he will be punished.
Hades said it as a matter of fact, and she knew there was no arguing. What will it cost me? She asked.
because she knew who she was dealing with, and she had just requested a favor from the god of the dead. His lips twitched.
Clever, darling. You know how this works. The punishment? Nothing. His memory? A favor.
Don't call me darling, she snapped. What kind of favor?
Whatever I want, he said, to be used at a future time.
She considered this for a moment. What would Hades want from her? What could she possibly have to offer him? Maybe it was that thought that made her agree, or the fear that her mother would discover she'd showed her true form. Either way, she said, deal. Hades smiled.
I will have my driver take you home.
That's not necessary.
It is.
She pressed her lips together. Fine, she gritted out. She didn't really feel like taking the bus again, but the idea that Hades would know where she lived was unsettling. Then the god clasped her shoulders, leaned forward, and pressed his lips to her forehead. The move was so sudden she lost her balance. Her fingers tangled into his shirt to steady herself, nails grazing the skin of his chest. His body was hard and warm, and his lips were soft on her skin. When he pulled away, she couldn't gather herself enough to be angry. What was that for? She asked, her voice a whisper. Hades maintained that infuriating smirk, like he knew she couldn't think straight, and brushed a finger across her heated cheek.
For your benefit. Next time, the door will open for you. I'd rather you not piss Duncan off. If he hurts you again, I will have to kill him, and it's hard to find a good ogre.
Persephone could just imagine. Lord Hades, Thanatos is looking for you. Oh. A woman entered the office from a hidden door behind his desk. She was beautiful, her hair parted in the center, as red as flame. Her eyes were sharp and brows arched, lips full and lush and crimson. All her features were pointed and angled. She was a nymph, and when she looked at Persephone, there was hatred in her eyes. It was then Persephone realized she was still standing close to Hades, her hands tangled in his shirt. When she tried to pull away, his hands tightened on her.
I did not know you had company, Minthy added tightly.
Hades didn't look at the woman. Instead, his eyes remained on Persephone.
A minute, Minthy.
Persephone's first thought was, so this is Minthy. She was beautiful in a way Persephone wasn't, a way that promised seduction and sin, and she loathed the jealousy she felt. Her second thought was, why did he need a minute? What more could he have to say? Persephone didn't see Minthy leave because she couldn't force her gaze away from Hades.
You haven't answered my question. Hades said, why are you using your mother's magic?
It was her turn to smile. Lord Hades, she said, drawing a finger down his chest. She wasn't sure what made her do it, but she was feeling brave. The only way you are getting answers from me is if I decide to enter into another gamble with you, and at the moment, it's not likely. Then she took the lapels of his jacket and straightened it, her eyes falling to the red polyanthus flower in the pocket of his suit jacket. She looked up at him and whispered, I think you will regret this, Hades. She touched the flower, and Hades' eyes followed the movement. When her fingers brushed the petals, the flower wilted. Chapter 5. Intrusion. Hades' driver was a cyclops. She tried not to look so surprised when she saw the creature standing in front of a black Lexus outside Nevernight. He was not like the Cyclopes depicted in history. They had been beastly creatures, large like a mountain, layered with rock-hard muscle, and fanged. This man was taller than Hades and all legs, with broad shoulders and a thin build. His eye was hooded but kind, and he smiled when he saw Persephone. Hades had insisted on escorting Persephone outside. She was not eager to be seen in public with the god, Though she wasn't so sure that thought had crossed Hades' mind. He was probably more concerned about getting her off his premises as soon as possible, so he could get some rest, or whatever he'd been about to do before she interrupted.
Lady Persephone, this is Antony, Hades said. He will ensure you make it home safe.
Persephone raised a brow at the god of the underworld. Am I in danger, my lord?
Just a precaution. I wouldn't want your mother banging down my door before she has a reason to.
She has a reason to now, she thought angrily, and the mark on her wrist pulsed, sending a wave of sensation through her. She met his stare, intending to glare and communicate her anger, but she found it difficult to think at all. The god of the dead had eyes like the universe, vibrant, alive, vast. She was lost in them and all they promised. She was thankful when Antony distracted her from those dangerous thoughts. Nothing good would come out of finding Hades interesting. Hadn't she learned that already?
My lady, Antony said, opening the rear car door.
My lord, she nodded to Hades as she twisted from him and slid into the black leather interior. Antony shut her door carefully and then folded himself into the driver's seat. They were on the road quickly, and it took everything in her power not to look back. She wondered how long Hades stood there before returning to his tower, if he was laughing at her boldness and her failure. She stared down at the flashy bracelet that covered the black mark. In this light, the gold looked brassy and cheap. She pulled it off and examined the markings on her skin. The only thing she could think to be thankful for at this moment was that the mark was small enough and placed where it could be easily hidden. Create life in the underworld. Was there even life in the underworld? Persephone knew nothing about Hades' realm, and in all her studies, she had never found descriptions of the land of the dead, just details of its geography, and even those seemed to conflict. She supposed she would find out tomorrow, though the idea of returning to Nevernight to make the descent into the underworld filled her with anxiety. She groaned. Just when everything seemed to be working out for her, too.
Will you be returning to visit Lord Hades?
Antony asked, glancing in the rearview mirror. The Cyclops had a pleasant voice, warm and spiced. I'm afraid I will, Persephone said absently.
I hope you'll find him pleasing. Our lord is often alone.
Persephone found those words strange, especially in light of the jealous Minthy. He doesn't seem so alone to me.
Such is the case with the divine, but I am afraid he trusts very few. If you ask me, he needs a wife.
Persephone blushed. I am certain Lord Hades isn't interested in settling down.
You'd be surprised by what the god of the dead is interested in, Antony replied.
Persephone didn't want to know Hades' interests. She already felt like she knew too many, and none of them were good. Persephone watched the Cyclops from her seat in the back. How long have you been in service to Hades?
The three freed my kind from Tartarus after we were placed there by Cronus, he replied. And so we have repaid the favor by serving Zeus, Poseidon, and Hades from time to time.
As a driver? She didn't mean to sound so repulsed, but it seemed a menial task. Antony laughed.
Yes, but our kind are great builders and blacksmiths, too. We have crafted gifts for the three and shall continue.
But that was so long ago. Surely you've repaid their favor, Persephone asked.
When the god of the dead gives you life, it is a favor that will never be repaid.
Persephone frowned. I don't understand.
You have never been to Tartarus, so I don't expect that you will.
He paused, then added,
Do not misunderstand. My service to Hades is my choice, and of all the gods, I am glad to serve him. He is not like the other divine.
Persephone really wanted to know what that meant, because from what she knew about Hades, he was the worst of the divine. Antony arrived outside her apartment and squeezed out of the driver's seat to open her door. Oh, you don't have to. I can open my own door, she said. He smiled.
It is my pleasure, Lady Persephone.
She started to ask him not to call her that, but then realized he was using her title, as if he knew she were a goddess, yet she wore her glamour. How did you—
Lord Hades called you Lady Persephone, he explained. So I will too.
Please, it's not necessary. His smile widened.
I think you should get used to it, Lady Persephone, especially if you visit us often, as I hope you will.
He shut the door and bowed his head. Persephone wandered to her apartment in a daze, turning to watch as Antony drove away. This day had been long and bizarre, thanks to the god of the dead. There was no reprieve from it either, because Lexa stood in the kitchen when Persephone came inside and pounced.
Who's Lexis dropped you off in front of our lame apartment? She asked.
Persephone wanted to lie and claim that someone from her internship had dropped her off, but she knew Lexa wouldn't believe that. She was supposed to be home 2 hours ago, and her best friend had just watched as she'd literally been chauffeured to their home. Well, you're never going to believe this, but Hades. While she could admit to that, she wasn't ready to tell Lexa about the contract or the mark on her wrist. Lexa dropped the mug she was holding. Persephone flinched as it hit the floor and shattered.
Are you kidding?
Persephone shook her head and moved to grab a broom. Lexa followed.
Like, the Hades? God of the dead Hades? Owner of Nevernight Hades?
Yes, Lexa. Who else?
How? She sputtered. Why?
Persephone started sweeping up the ceramic pieces. It was for my job. It wasn't technically a lie. She could call it research.
And you met Hades? You saw him in the flesh?
Persephone shivered at the word, recalling Hades' haphazard appearance. Yeah. She turned away from Lexa and grabbed the dustpan, trying to hide the furious blush staining her cheeks.
What does he look like? Details! Spill!
Persephone handed Lexa the dustpan, and she held it as Persephone swept up the shattered mug. I don't know where to begin. Lexa smiled.
Start with his eyes.
Persephone sighed. It felt intimate to describe Hades, and part of her wanted to keep him all to herself, though she was well aware she was only describing a toned-down version of the god. She had yet to see him in his true form. There was a strange anticipation that followed that thought, and she realized she was eager to know the god and his divinity. Would his horns be as black as his eyes and hair? Would they curl on either side of his head like a ram's, or reach into the air, making him even taller? He's handsome, she said, though even that word didn't do him justice. It wasn't just his looks, it was his presence. He's power.
Someone has a crush?
The smug smirk on Lex's face reminded Persephone that she was too focused on what the god looked like and not enough on what he did. What? No, no. Look, Hades is handsome. I'm not blind, but I can't condone what he does.
What do you mean?
The bargains, Lex. Persephone reminded Lexa of what they'd learned from Adonis at Nevernight. He preys upon desperate mortals. She shrugged.
Well, you could ask Hades about it.
We're not friends, Lexa. They would never be friends. Then Lexa bounced on her feet.
Oh, what if you wrote about him? You could investigate his bargains with mortals. How scandalous.
It was scandalous, not only because of the content, but because it would mean writing an article about a god, something very few did for fear of retaliation. But Persephone wasn't afraid of retaliation. She didn't care that Hades was a god.
Looks like you have another reason to visit Hades, Lexa said,
and Persephone broke into a smile. Hades had offered her easy access. When he'd pressed his lips to her forehead, he'd said it was for her benefit. She wouldn't have to knock to enter Nevernight again. The god of the underworld would definitely regret meeting the goddess of spring. And she looked forward to that day. She was divine, too, Though she had no power of her own, she could write, and maybe that made her the perfect person to expose him. After all, if anything happened to her, Hades would feel Demeter's wrath. On her way to class at New Athens University, Persephone stopped to purchase an assortment of bangles. Since she would have to wear Hades' mark until she fulfilled their contract, she wanted to accessorize her outfits accordingly. Today, she wore a stack of pearls, a classic touch to complement her bright pink skirt and white button-up. Her heels clicked against the concrete sidewalk as she rounded the corner and the university came into view. Each step meant time was passing, which meant an hour, a minute, a second closer to her return to Nevernight. Today, Hades would take her to the underworld. She'd stayed up into the night considering how she was to fulfill their contract. She'd asked if he wanted her to plant a garden, and he'd shrugged. Shrugged? That is one way, he'd said. What was that supposed to mean? And what other ways could she possibly create life? Wasn't that why he'd chosen this challenge? Because she had no power to fulfill the task? She doubted it was because the Lord Hades wanted beautiful gardens in his desolate realm. He was interested in punishment, after all. And from what she'd heard and witnessed from the god, he did not intend the underworld to be a place for peace and pretty flowers. Despite how angry she was with herself and Hades, her emotions were at odds. She was both intrigued and nervous to descend into the god's realm. Mostly, though, she was afraid. What if she failed? No, she closed her eyes against the thought. She couldn't fail. She wouldn't. She would see the underworld tonight and make a plan. Just because she couldn't coax a bloom from the ground with magic did not mean she couldn't use other methods, mortal methods. She would just have to be careful. She would need gloves. It was that or kill every plant she touched. And while the garden ruminated, she would look for other ways to fulfill the contract. Or break it. She did not know much about Hades except what her mother and mortals believed about him. He was private, he did not like intrusions, and he did not like the media. He was really going to dislike what she had planned for today. And suddenly she had the thought, could she make Hades mad enough that he would release her from this contract? Persephone passed through the entrance of New Athens University, a set of six columns crowned with a piece of pointed stone, and entered the courtyard. The Library of Artemis rose in front of her, a pantheon-style building that she had taken pleasure in exploring her freshman year. The campus was easy to navigate, laid out like a seven-pointed star, the library being one of the 7 points. Persephone always cut through the center of the star, which was the Garden of the Gods, an acre of land full of the favored flowers of the Olympians and marble statues. Though Persephone had walked this path many times to class, today felt different. The garden was like an oppressor, and the flowers were enemies, their smells mixing in the air, the thick scent of honeysuckle mingled with the sweet smell of the rose accosting her senses. Did Hades expect her to grow something this grand? Would he really sentence her to life in the underworld if she failed to deliver his request in 6 months? She knew the answer. Hades was a strict god. He believed in rules and boundaries, and he'd set them yesterday, not even fearing the threat of her mother's wrath. Persephone passed Poseidon's pool and its towering statue of a very naked Ares with his helm atop his head and shield in hand. It wasn't the only statue of a naked god in the garden, and normally she gave it little thought. But today her gaze was drawn to the large horns atop Ares' head. Her own felt heavy under the glamour she wore. She'd heard a rumor when she moved to New Athens that horns were the source of the divine's power. Persephone wished that were true. It wasn't even about having power now. It was about freedom. It's just that the fates have chosen a different path for you, my flower, Demeter had said when Persephone's magic never manifested. What path? Persephone asked. There is no path, only the walls of your glass prison. Do you keep me hidden away because you're ashamed? I keep you safe because you have no power, my flower. There is a difference. Persephone still wasn't sure what sort of path the fates had decided for her, but she knew she could be safe without being imprisoned. And she guessed at some point Demeter had agreed, because she'd let Persephone go, albeit on a long leash. She tensed when she smelled her mother's magic, bitter and floral. Demeter was near. "Mother," Persephone said when Demeter appeared beside her. She wore a human glamour, not something she often did. It wasn't that Demeter disliked mortals. She was incredibly protective of her followers. She merely knew her status as a goddess. Demeter's mortal mask was not so different from her divine appearance. She kept the same smooth hair, the same bright green eyes, the same luminous skin, but her antlers were veiled. She chose a fitted emerald dress and gold heels. To onlookers, she had all the appearances of a sharp businesswoman. "What are you doing here?" Persephone asked.
"Where were you yesterday?"
Demeter's voice was curt.
"It sounds like you already think you know the answer, so why don't you tell me?"
"Do not treat this with sarcasm, my dear. This is very serious. Why were you at Nevernight?"
Persephone tried to keep her heart from racing. Had a nymph seen her?
"How do you know I was at Nevernight?"
"Never mind how I knew. I asked you a question."
"I went for work, Mother. I must return today, too."
"Absolutely not," Demeter said. "Need I remind you a condition of your time here was that you stay away from the gods, especially Hades?"
She said his name like a curse, and Persephone flinched.
"Mother, I have to do this. It's my job."
"Then you will quit?"
"No."
Demeter's eyes widened, and her mouth hung open. Persephone was sure that in all her 24 years, she'd never told her mother no.
"What did you say?"
"I like my life, Mother. I've worked hard to get where I am."
"Persephone, you do not need to live this mortal life. It is changing you."
"Good. That's what I want. I want to be me, whatever that is. And you're going to have to accept that."
Demeter's face was stone cold, and Persephone knew what she was thinking. "I do not have to accept anything but what I want."
"I have heeded your warnings about the gods, especially Hades," Persephone added. "What are you afraid of? That I'll allow him to seduce me? Have more faith in me."
Demeter paled and hissed,
"This is serious, Persephone."
"I am being serious, Mother." She checked her watch. "I have to go. I'll be late for class."
Persephone sidestepped her mother and left the garden. She could feel Demeter's gaze burning her back as she went. She would regret standing up for herself, she was sure of it. Question was, what punishment would the goddess of harvest choose? Class went by in a blur of furious notes and droning lectures. Normally, Persephone was attentive, but she had a lot on her mind. Her conversation with her mother was gnawing away at her insides. Though Persephone was proud she stood up for herself, she knew Demeter could whisk her away with a snap of her fingers back to the glass greenhouse. She was also thinking about her conversation with Lexa and how she could start research for her article. She knew an interview would be essential, but she wasn't eager to be in an enclosed space with Hades again. She was still feeling off at lunch, and Lexa noticed.
"What's wrong?"
She considered how to tell her friend her mother was spying on her. Finally, she said, "I found out my mom's been tracking me. She sort of found out about Nevernight." Lexa rolled her eyes.
"Doesn't she realize you're an adult?"
"I don't think my mother has ever seen me as an adult. And she didn't think she ever would, evident by her use of the nickname Corey."
"Don't let her make you feel bad for having fun, Persephone. Definitely don't let her keep you from doing what you want."
But it was harder than that. Obeying meant she could stay in the mortal world, and that's what Persephone wanted, even if it wasn't as fun. After lunch, Lexa came with Persephone to the Acropolis. She claimed it was to see where she worked, but Persephone suspected she wanted a glimpse of Adonis. And she got one, because he intercepted them as they passed the front desk.
"Hey,"
he smiled.
"Lexa, right? It's good to see you again."
Gods, she couldn't blame Lexa one bit for falling under Adonis's spell. This man was charming, and it helped that he was remarkably handsome. Lexa grinned. I couldn't believe it when Persephone told me she worked with you. What a coincidence.
He looked at Persephone.
It was definitely a pleasant surprise. You know what they say, small world, huh? Adonis, a moment,
Dimitri called from his doorway, and they all looked in his direction.
Coming.
Adonis glanced back at Lexa.
Good to see you. Let's all go out sometime.
Careful, we'll hold you to that, she warned.
I hope you do.
Adonis hurried off to join Dimitri, and Lexa looked at Persephone.
Tell me, is he as handsome as Hades?
Persephone didn't mean to scoff, but there was no comparison. She also didn't mean to offer a resounding no, but she did. Lexa raised a brow and smiled, then leaned forward and pecked Persephone on the cheek.
I'll see you tonight. Oh, and make sure you follow up with Adonis. He's right. We should go out together.
With Lexa gone, Persephone deposited her belongings at her desk and went to make coffee. Post-lunch, she was feeling tired, and she needed all her energy for what she was about to do. When she returned to her desk, Adonis stepped out of Dimitri's office.
So, about this weekend?
This weekend? She echoed.
I thought we could go to the trials, he said. You know, with Lexa. I'll invite Arrow, Ceres, and Sybil.
The trials were a series of competitions whose contestants hoped to represent their territory in the upcoming pentathlon. Persephone had never been, but she'd seen in red coverage in the past. Oh, well, actually, before we discuss that, I was hoping you might help me with something. Adonis brightened.
Sure, what's up?
Has anyone here ever written about the god of the dead? Adonis laughed, then stopped himself.
Oh, you're serious?
Very.
I mean, it's kind of hard.
Why?
Because it's not like Hades forces these humans into gambling with him. They do so willingly, and then face the consequences.
That doesn't mean the consequences are right or even fair, Persephone argued.
No, but no one wants to end up in Tartarus, Persephone.
That seemed to contradict what Dimitri had to say on her first day, that New Athens news always sought truth. To say she was disappointed was an understatement, and Adonis must have noticed.
Look, if you're serious about this, I can send you what I have on him.
You'd do that? She asked.
Of course,
he grinned.
On one condition, you let me read the article you write.
She had no problem sending Adonis her article and welcomed the feedback. Deal. Adonis delivered. Shortly after he returned to his desk, she received an email with notes and voice recordings detailing deals the god had made with several mortals. Not everyone who wrote or called were victims of Hades. Some were families of victims whose lives had been cut short due to a lost bargain. In total, she counted 77 different cases. As she read and listened, a common thread emerged from interviews. All the mortals who'd gone to Hades for help were in desperate need of something, money or health or love. Hades would agree to grant whatever the mortal asked if they won against him at a game of his choice. But if they lost, they were at his mercy. And Hades seemed to delight in offering an impossible challenge. An hour in, Adonis dropped by to check on her.
Finding any of it useful?
I want to interview Hades, she said. Today, if possible. She felt impatient. The sooner she got this article out, the better. Adonis paled.
You want to what?
I'd like to give Hades a chance to offer his side of things, she explained. Everything Adonis had on him was from the perspective of the mortal, and she was curious how the god saw bargains and mortals and their vices. You know, before I write my article. Adonis blinked a couple times and finally found his words.
That's not how this works, Persephone. You can't just show up at a god's place of business and demand an audience. There are rules.
She raised a brow and crossed her arms over her chest. Rules?
Yes, rules. We have to submit a request to his PR manager.
A request that will be denied, I'm assuming? Adonis glanced away, shifting on his feet as if Persephone's questioning made him uncomfortable. Look, if we go there, at least we can say we tried to reach him for comment, and he denied us. I can't write this article without trying, and I don't want to wait. Not when I can enter Never Night at Will, she thought. Hades would regret kissing her when he saw how she planned to use his favor. After a moment, Adonis sighed.
Okay, I'll let Dimitri know we're heading out.
He started to turn, and Persephone stopped him. You haven't told Dimitri about this, have you?
Not that you plan to write this article.
Can we keep it a secret, for now? Adonis smiled.
Yeah, sure. Whatever you want, Persephone.
Adonis parked on the curb in front of Nevernight, his red Lexus glaring against the black backdrop of Hades' obsidian tower. Even though Persephone was determined to follow through with this interview, she had a moment of doubt. Was she being too bold in assuming she could even use Hades' favor in this way? Adonis came up beside her.
Looks different in the daylight, huh?
Yeah, she said absently. The tower did look different, harsher, a jagged cut in a sparkling city. Adonis tried the door, but it was locked, so he knocked and offered no time for someone to answer before retreating.
Looks like no one's home.
He definitely did not want to be here, and Persephone wondered why he hesitated to confront the god when he came to his club so often at night. As Adonis turned away from the door, Persephone tried it, and it opened. Yes, she hissed to herself. Adonis looked back at her, puzzled.
How did you? It was locked.
She shrugged. Maybe you didn't pull hard enough. Come on. As she disappeared into Nevernight, she heard Adonis say,
I swear it was locked.
She descended the stairs, entering the now familiar club. Her heels clicked against the glossy black floor, and she looked up into the darkness of the tall ceiling, knowing that this floor could be seen from Hades' office.
Hello? Anybody home?
Adonis called. Persephone cringed and resisted the urge to tell Adonis to shut up. She'd had it in her head that she'd go upstairs to Hades' office and catch him off guard, though she wasn't so sure that was a great idea. She considered yesterday, when he'd answered the door disheveled. At least if she surprised him, she might learn the truth about whatever was going on between him and Minthy. As if summoned by her thoughts, the red-headed nymph emerged from the darkness of the room, dressed in a fitted black dress and heels. She was just as lovely as Persephone remembered. The goddess of spring had met and befriended many nymphs, but none of them looked quite as severe as Minthy. She wondered if that was the result of serving the god of the underworld.
Can I help you?
Minthy had an inviting and smoky voice, but it didn't hide the sharpness of her tone.
Aye.
Adonis brushed past Persephone, suddenly finding his confidence and extending his hand. Persephone was surprised and slightly frustrated when Minthy took his hand and offered a smile.
Adonis.
Minthy.
Do you work here?
He asked.
I am Lord Hades' assistant, she replied.
Persephone looked away and rolled her eyes. Assistant seemed like a loaded word.
Really?
Adonis sounded genuinely surprised.
But you're so beautiful.
It really wasn't Adonis's fault. Nymphs had that effect on people. But Persephone was on a mission and growing impatient. Adonis held Minthy's hand longer than necessary until Persephone cleared her throat, and he dropped it.
And this is Persephone.
He gestured to her. Minthy said nothing. She didn't even nod.
We're from New Athens News.
So you're a reporter?
Her eyes flashed, and Adonis probably took it as interest in his occupation, but Persephone knew otherwise. We're actually here to speak with Hades, she said. Is he around? Minthy's eyes burned into her.
Do you have an appointment with Lord Hades?
No.
Then I'm afraid you cannot speak to him.
Oh, well, that's too bad, Adonis said,
We'll come back when we have an appointment. Persephone?
She ignored Adonis, glaring at Minthy.
Inform your lord that Persephone is here and would like to speak with him.
It was a command, but Minthy smiled, unfazed, looking at Adonis.
Your counterpart must be new and therefore ignorant to how this works. See, Lord Hades does not give interviews.
Of course. Adonis wrapped his fingers around Persephone's wrist. Let's go, Persephone. I told you there is a protocol we need to follow.
Persephone looked at Adonis's fingers wrapped around her wrist and then met his gaze. She wasn't sure what look she gave him, but her eyes burned and anger rose hot in her blood.
Let me go.
His eyes widened and he released her. She turned her attention back to Minthy.
I am not ignorant to how this works, Persephone said. But I demand to speak with Hades.
Demand?
Minthy crossed her arms over her chest, brows rising to her hairline, and smiled wickedly.
Fine. I'll tell him you demand to see him, but only because I will take great satisfaction in hearing him turn you away.
She twisted on her heels and melted into the darkness. Persephone wondered for a moment if she really was going to tell Hades or send an ogre to kick them out.
Why would Hades know your name? Adonis asked.
She didn't look at him as she replied. I met him the same night I met you. She could feel his questions building in the air between them. She just hoped he wouldn't ask them.